Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Good morning and welcome. It is Tuesday, 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is Feedback. If you would like to be a part of the program, give us a call, 715-845-2155. And this morning we're going to start off talking about Hillary Clinton's new book. It's out today, right? It's the big grand release. Yay! Hard choices! Woohoo! Well, let's talk about what the critics are saying about the book, first of all. A lot of people are coming out and saying it's boring, that it is too politically correct. It is too carefully crafted. The critics are saying that it is so careful not to offend anybody, it just turns out to be kind of boring. And that's a shame. When you look at the history that this woman has had, first lady, senator, and then Secretary of State. I mean, come on. Say what you want about Hillary Clinton's political viewpoints. For her to be, and let's not forget, first lady in the governor's mansion of Arkansas, first lady of the White House, Senator Hillary Clinton from the phony residence there in New York, and Secretary of State. That's amazing.
Phony residence. They've lived in New York for years.
They bought a house in New York so that she would have a residence so she could run for Senate.
That many people have done in a New York Senate race before.
I know, and it's not right. If you don't live there, you can't be a representative from there.
You mean like Scott Brown running in New Hampshire now after losing in Massachusetts?
Yeah, I don't think you should be able to be a carpetbagger and move from one location to the next just because you think you can win. If you have political aspirations because you think you can do something for that area, that state, and that's where you live, that's fine. I think that's honorable. But it's like, I don't have a snowball's chance of winning here. I'm going to move to wherever, and I'm going to step there. I can win there. That's
I'm going to move from Florida to Wisconsin.
Yeah. Oh, you saying I should run for office? What harm could that do?
Yeah.
So anyway, the critics are saying it's just too careful. It's too soft in its crafting, and which is a real disappointment. It's a real shame, because say what you want about her political viewpoints, her life experiences are fascinating. Wouldn't you like to read and get an idea of the real workings of what happened as First Lady of Arkansas and the White House?
She's written a book before. I think there's a
book
out
there. Well,
yeah,
there was a memoir that she wrote, and that again was like...
Oh, you read it?
Oh, hell no.
What?
I read the excerpts. I read the critiques of it, but I'm not going to waste my time reading the drivel. And we're going to get to why did she write this book and some of the claims that are in it. We're gonna get to that. Let's go to the phones. Jim, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good morning. So we're talking about the carpetbagger from New York, huh?
Yeah, I thought that would be our topic for this morning.
I'm listening to Tom blather in the back there. So, I guess I wanted to comment. They had her all over TV last night on this book and everything. And getting positioned for the big run here in 2016.
Yeah, I think so.
I think I would use her words. As a Republican, the Republican Party, and say, where was she in the 3 o'clock a.m. call for Benghazi?
Well, see, here's the thing that this book is trying to do. She is trying to put these issues behind her. Say, all right,
we can't put it behind her because
she's trying.
She said it, and she owns the words. She owns Benghazi.
You and I and many other conservatives are concerned about the Benghazi issue. That is not something that we're going to allow to slip away into obscurity. However, there are many on the left that say, no, it's over. There was no controversy. There was no cover-up. Let's move on. Let's ignore those radicals on the right that insist that lying to the American public is a criminal offense and should be investigated.
Well, they can call me a radical, but I'm here to tell you I'm a I'm a life member of the VFW. I'm a life member of the American Legion. I was in the 7th Cav, the Gary Owen. And if they want to call me a radical, that is fine. But
yes, sir.
I know as being a, you know, as an ex-military person back in the 70s,
right,
that I know that the military capabilities are much more than they're putting out right now.
Yeah. Sir, Jim, I really appreciate you listening to the show. I appreciate you calling in and being a part of it. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, so one of the big revelations in the book, which I found really odd for a claim to be made, is Hillary is saying she and Bill were not only dead broke when they left the White House, but they were seriously in debt. Quote, we came out of the White House not only dead broke, but in debt. We had no money when we got there, and we struggled to, you know, piece together the resources for mortgages, for houses, for Chelsea's education. You know, it was not easy. Wait, whoa, hang on. Wait a second. We're broke, and we're struggling to make payments on our houses. Well, you know, they came out of government going into the private sector knowing that things were going to be different, right? So that they decided to maybe scale back some of their expenses and to take a realistic look at what they needed to do. So I'm sure that the homes that they bought were, how do you put it, modest, right? Sure, because if you're struggling, if you're broke, when you come out of a job and you're broke, you don't have another job, you're gonna buy a modest house, right? No, we're gonna buy two multi-million-dollar mansions.
Well, but wait a minute. If you are any ex-president coming out of the White House, knows that there are
keep up appearances.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Mm. They know that there are paydays coming. They can go and give speeches. They can go and write articles. Mm. They can go and give write books. And they know the paydays are coming. Any ex-president, it's a meal ticket for life.
Now, yes.
What back do you mean now. Forever. Every ex-president knows it's a meal ticket for life.
Not every ex-president. When Washington left office, he was broke. He was destitute.
Well, if you want to go back that far. I'm sorry. I'm talking about in the last 30, 40, 50 years.
Modern time, yes, the presidents have had a chance to make some money when they've left the White House. But that's not always been the case. Back when, you know, people with some modicum of, I don't know, decency were doing self-sacrifice and public service. That was not the case. However, I'm asking the question, is it reasonable when you do not know where your next paycheck is coming from that you buy two multi-million-dollar mansions? I'm just saying. Let's take a look at these houses that the Clintons bought when we come back. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News.
I felt really compelled to call on my way into work.
The news you need, the issues you're passionate about.
And what's wrong with that?
AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback. 715-845-2155. Okay, now this is not going to be Hillary Bashfest. All right, this is simply pointing out some things that stand out to me in this book that's coming out. Now, Chris and I had a bit of a brief conversation right before we started Feedback. We're going into why is the book coming out? Well, I think the book is coming out because it's an opportunity. It's not a money-making venture. This is an opportunity to stay relevant, to stay in front of you and I and the voters, to stay pertinent. Politics is a very, very tricky game.
Usually 2 to 3 years before a presidential election, the candidates who are interested in running will have a book come out. Scott Walker's book came out a little while back and a number of other people as well.
And it's a good strategy because it is a hardcover, permanent source of information that if you want to find out about something, go read their book. Well,
very few people outside the Beltway probably read the dang things, you know.
Yeah. And so again, the critics have said it's not very good. It's kind of boring. It's a little too soft. You know, it doesn't really give us any information. It's just kind of everything is awesome if you really want to know about. All right. So the big thing that I caught from the information being divulged from the book and the interview that she's done, Hillary is trying to reach out to the common man and identify with us, saying, listen, when we left the White House, we were broke. Okay, so they're broke and they bought a couple homes. After leaving the White House, the Clintons bought two very nice places. The first one was a $1.7 million home in Chappaqua, New York. This is so that she would have a residence in New York State so that she could run her 2000 Senate campaign. $1.7 million home in New York. I'm sorry, I have a hard time with rationalizing the statement, we were broke, with... Yeah, well, yeah, but we bought a $1.5 million house. They also purchased a $2.85 million mansion on Embassy Row in Washington, D.C., 5 bedrooms, 6 baths. You know, I mean, you're going to need that when there's
I would imagine being broke for people like that means different things than being broke for people like you and me.
Then
when Donald
that.
Trump is broke, it's different than when we're broke. When Donald Trump, went into bankruptcy, he still had lots of stuff.
Yes, but the obligations exceeded his assets.
Right.
All right? And this is what Hillary is claiming. Now, broke means I'm going to have a little bit of trouble paying my bills next month. And that's what she says. We had difficulty paying the mortgages on our houses. Well, then don't buy two houses. The hell's wrong with you? I'm sorry, I get a little upset.
They probably had trouble paying the bills for a couple of months until Bill went out and did a couple of speeches and got his, you know, whatever ex-presidents get for giving speeches these days. What is it, about 200 grand or something?
Well, the other interesting aspect of this is that when she left the White House, this book that we were just referring to, her first memoir, she received a $8 million advance. So either she's lying about being broke or she's lying about the money that she... Basically, what I'm saying here is, as a typical politician, we're not getting the right story. What's coming out in the book, what's coming out in her interview is, I identify with you. Please vote for me. I identify with you. I'm one of the common people. Look at me. I wear pantsuits and everything.
I'm not sure anyone is going to buy Hillary Clinton as an every person
Well, then don't come out and try. The Clintons have raised eyebrows. She reportedly received $8 million advance for her memoir, Living History, just before they left the White House. Their 1999 tax return shows that Bill made $416,000 in his last year as president.
Spent most of that at McDonald's.
Spent most of it in legal fees. Now,
that's right too. They probably had legal bills coming out of the wing wing.
Now, that's gonna hurt. Since leaving the White House, Bill has made $106 million on his own from speaking engagements, and the two of them have racked up an additional $109 million.
It must be grand to be an ex-president.
Hillary charges $200,000 every time she shows up to talk. 200 grand. It doesn't take long to rack up some serious stacks when you are charging $200,000 a whack. All right. So she's coming out and saying we were broke when we left the White House. That's a lie. She wasn't. They had a million-dollar book deal, multi-million-dollar book deal, and they had a sizable amount of income prior to. So she's either lying or she is a horrid financial manager, one or the other. Either way you want to slice this Snicker bar, do you want those characteristics as a person who is leading? one who will lie for convenience or has no clue about how to handle money. Oh, well, we're going to make more later, so let's spend it all now. What if? What if it doesn't come in later? Don't you agree that part of the reason that we are in financial straits as a nation with trillion-dollar deficits is because the attitude is, well, go ahead and spend it now. We can do something later to bring in more money. We can raise taxes or we can cut something, but we can, don't worry about it. We need it now. Let's spend it now, and we'll pay for it later.
It's the American way. In fact, I think President Bush told us to go out and spend our way out of the recession.
No, he didn't say spend our way out of the recession. He said go back to your normal lives and go shopping after the terrorist attack, which I thought was the crappiest advice ever. It's like, look, I understand going back to your normal day life. Go to work. Go to school. Go do what you normally do. But oh my gosh, the nation's just been attacked by terrorists. Hey, let's go to Macy's. No, that didn't sit well with me. However, I just bring this up because these are questionable issues, and I think it's, again, I am not intending this to be Hillary bashing. I bring it to our attention because it is yet another example of politicians who have been in the game way too long playing the game. And we are just sitting here lapping it up like a thirsty dog.
Time magazine this week has a couple of stories that might interest you. One is on the inevitability of 2016, and the suggestion is that there's a long way to go, and there is no inevitability that Hillary Clinton will be the nominee of the Democratic Party.
I agree with that.
And there's a write-up on a possible contender, at least in the primaries, the governor of Montana, actually the ex-governor of Montana now, a Democrat, Brian, I can't remember his last name now, but he is an iconoclast in the Democratic Party. He has some Democratic viewpoints, but he also has a lot of guns, is not in favor of gun control, is not a big fan of the Affordable Health Care Act. And so he may be somebody to mend some bridges. Is a plain-spoken guy who probably will say a lot of things on the campaign trail that some people will go, yeah, and other people go, I can't believe he just said that. It may be an interesting campaign if he gets into it.
I think you and I both can agree that the Benghazi issue is going to stain Hillary Clinton's run.
Well, you guys aren't going to let it go away, even though there have been all the investigations,
know,
and there are going to be more investigations.
Excuse.
How many investigations are going to be enough for you?
That's the defense.
Well, I guess it would be interesting
until
to get
the
an
truth
answer.
Comes out. That's the answer.
And if the truth is already out and you just don't agree with the truth,
like global warming, the truth is out there. Your side just doesn't want to listen to it. The point of it is that you and I agree that the Benghazi issue is going to be a stain on her campaign. How big of a stain is yet to be seen. Will it be a little spot, or is it going to be a Lewinsky dress? How much of an issue is it going to be? That we don't know. Nobody knows yet. Nobody knows yet until the slugfest starts. All right, let's take one more break. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. You want to be a part of feedback? Yes, you do. 715-845-2155.
Severe weather updates on WSAU.com. And on air at AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.